Welcome to the Biz for Good show with your hosts, Bobby Glenn James and Ryan Pilkington. The Biz for Good podcast is a fun and adventurous series that dives into the world of business, nonprofit, and startups, making a difference in the world for good. Get ready for another episode. Hey, cue that sick intro.
Biz for Good.
All right, welcome to the Biz for Good show. I am your host, Bobby Glenn James, along with the Ryan Pilkington.
And man, of course, that gets bigger every week.
Yes, yeah. And today it is Founders Roundtable. I just like saying that. And we have our two Founders Roundtable guest hosts with us. High fives all the way around, brothers. Oh, it's gonna be a great 35 episode. Ooh. 35 today.
Number 35.
Number 35. Mm. Wow.
Right on.
It's like flying by, kind of.
Cha-ching.
Cha-ching.
I feel up to date. I just listened to episode 34, so I'm feeling good.
Awesome. It's interesting. They say a podcast is not a legit podcast until you reach episode 100. So it's going to be a big celebration, guys. When we hit 100,
huge.
We are going to party like it's
1999. Woohoo! Yeah.
Or in 2009.
Las Vegas.
In Vegas.
And we're going to do it.
With a little red Corvette.
No.
I'm on a Prince kick. I don't know. I'm on right a Prince
on.
Kick.
Is purple. That going to be in the purple rain or not?
Oh!
Will that be when doves fly?
No, but when they cry.
Okay.
Oh, man. All right.
Now, how far can we
back into the show?
Let's go crazy.
How far? Oh, very good. Anymore?
We totally lost
Hey, give
control.
Me a kiss. There we go. Kiss. Yeah, I think
moving right along.
Okay. Oh, man, we're on
How's
a
that
fun
raspberry beret?
Yeah, I knew we could do another one. And we all got the memo, except for Ryan, but you have a little red on your shirt. We're red today.
I'm representing the Advocatees.
He's representing the Advocatees with a little bit of red there.
Yeah, a little.
Welcome, folks, to the show. We're going to turn the time over to Ryan for a minute.
Oh, goody. All right, at the end of each month, we sit down with these awesome, amazing, talented, beautiful people, Kevin and Jay Taylor and Bobby, and I guess I'm beautiful, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's right. I'm beautiful.
You're beautiful.
We're going to dive deep and talk about business. And today's topic, we're talking about are we creating customers? Are we creating fans? So we'll be going into that later on. We'll start off the show without any segments or B4G studio news. But we will take time to thank our sponsor, MazumaUSA.com. So basically, Mazuma.com is a bookkeeping service and helps you keep and track your taxes. There's only one step to remember. You just got to pay $75 a month to get your own bookkeeping service. If you want to learn more, call 866-575-9100. You can go to MazumaUSA.com and at checkout, put Biz for Good. What do you think about that, Bobby?
I love it. I just turned, just so you guys know, technical difficulties is our middle name.
Yay.
I turned off the audio when we did the checklist, so there's been no audio on the video until now.
They missed the entire live from Paisley Park?
Yeah, except we got it. We got it recorded.
Okay.
Just, unfortunately, the video, folks, do not see it, but we should be good now. Let's check in with Sky. Let's see if it's good now.
Because we paid tribute to our late great friend Prince.
I know. You know what I'm going to do? We can do the audio and put it into the video later. Because that was too good.
That was important. Yeah, seriously.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's funny. We just went to a tribute band up at the Sandy Amphitheater a couple weeks back. And they rocked it. They even had the time. Do you guys remember the time?
Yeah, Morris Day and the Time.
Yeah, they had the dude. They were all tribute people, but they played the Time guy, and they even had the guy with the mirror that was with
like
him.
Like when he, you know, do the styling. Yeah.
I was like, this guy's gonna get it. And the Prince guy was spot on.
Maybe good guitar player too.
Maybe it was Prince. He's back.
You never know.
The conspiracy theory.
Incarnate.
Maybe he just said it's formerly known as Prince.
Currently known as dead.
At least it's pronounceable. That's a step up.
Absolutely.
It's pronounceable. Okay, that's not funny. But
did he show up in a little red Corvette?
Ooh, I don't know, but it was a fun show. It was a fun show.
Nice. Okay.
Thanks all for right. inviting us.
Yeah.
So we talked about Mizuma.
The tickets were free. Yeah. So.
Go Mizuma.
Mizuma. Oh.
Thank you, Mizuma.
Oh,
you
want to talk about them?
Yes. And then go into speakers.
Speak up. Professional speaker studio, speakupspeakers.com. If you want to be a speaker, if you are a speaker, if you want to be a better speaker, if you want to make a difference, you want to get your message out there and really be able to blow away folks with your message, well, you got to understand your message, come to Speak Up and do that. And also, of course, don't forget EFL360.com. Entrepreneurs, founders, and leaders. We host EFL 360 weekly every Thursday, 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock at the Miller Campus, the Corporate Partnership Building in room 333. Powerful connectors, entrepreneurs, founders, leaders, folks that want to get together, learn tools, grow, and become more than they already are. I know. It's a big deal.
It's a community.
It's a community.
It is.
It is more about the connection of the people that are doing things to change the world, specifically in a biz for good space. Yeah.
I would love some input on your visions, just real quickly for the audience on EFL, if you'd like.
Kevin is known to have visions, when he listens to Prince or not.
So. Yeah. Sometimes it's different artists, you know.
I keep off the shrooms.
Get it all over the audience here. I got some people out there listening. Needs to know.
So EFL 360 has grown out of what we've done together for the last, well, Jay, you for 6 years?
Since 2011.
2011, and then Bobby and I for the last 4 or 5, I lose track of my time, but we had been involved with helping entrepreneurs through another group, and we looked at that and thought, you know, we can really take what we're doing here with a weekly meeting, but take it to the next level. Take it to a point where if someone wants to come and just get that free class every week, that's great. If they really wanted to launch their business, if they really wanted to take off, that we could start to offer deeper and more personal, whether that's a small group class that's focused on one particular problem, or whether that's one-on-one mentoring, or
get a deep dive.
Deep dive, and we're looking at other ways too. But we got to start somewhere. Every business has to start somewhere, and those are kind of the first two next steps that we're looking at: is how do we help the people who've been coming, who want more, who want to get deeper in their business, and really, really want to make something out of it, not just kicking the tires.
Actually, be in revenue.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is the big goal for EFL. Yeah. I mean, we want our people to be in revenue and making money.
Yeah. I'd say that's our short-term vision in a biz for good
context.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know,
we know that's the secret to making money.
Yeah. Right.
Do good in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do good, be good.
Let me just share. I attended the... I'm going to talk church for just a second, but it will fit. Church the other week... part of what was discussed was it's okay to want to make money, and it is, because you cannot help someone with something you don't have. If you're scraping the bottom of your barrel financially, emotionally, spiritually, in that context, you've got nothing to give. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk biz for good, it's good to make money.
Absolutely.
If you don't make money, you can't help anybody. You're begging for help yourself, and you're scraping your own barrel.
Amen. So, amen, brother. Amen.
Anyway, that's my church talk for today.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And if you can make money doing something you love to do, it's a double bonus.
And if you're doing good in the world at the same time,
it's a triple. It's a hat trick.
We're talking really hashtag.
We just
good,
gave away
good.
The whole secrets to a powerful, wonderful life right there. Yeah. We just did it. Boom.
Boom.
And
boom.
In EFL 360, wherever you're at, a lot of the tribe are leaders of causes. They're not necessarily leaders of businesses, but they have causes, nonprofits, charities, things that they're involved with. And that's a big part, too. And if you already are in revenue, how can you create profit? If you're already a profit, how can you create sustainability? You know, it's not one size fits all.
And
we're all at different places.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. The ultimate objective, though, Bobby, as you said, is to create revenue. And then we'd say, well, now that you're there, the ultimate objective is truly to create profit.
Yeah.
And then now that you're there, we'd say, well, the ultimate objective is to create sustainability if that's what you want to do.
And then scale.
And
then,
absolutely. And then scale. Scale or have an exit strategy or mm-hmm. what, you know, it's a legacy business, a family business, pass it on, whatever it
absolutely.
Is. But absolutely. Together we're stronger. Together we can do that.
But absolutely. You can't do any of those great exit or long-term plans if you're not making money.
No, nope. yep. nobody to buy it.
They're
nothing
not going
to
gonna happen.
No
yeah.
value.
You can only make so much of an impact. You can only go so long.
And last week we talked about want. Do they want it? Yeah.
Yeah. Do they want it? Yeah.
So find the want mm-hmm. and then get the revenue.
What did he say? The biggest need and the simplest way to satisfy it? I think that's what...
Yeah,
was
is
it?
To find the want yeah. and give it to them. That was it.
Which is why it's so important for founders, for business leaders, for entrepreneurs to stay in touch with the problem that brought them to the business in the first place. Mm-hmm. As we've recognized over years, one of the challenges is, as small business owners, as entrepreneurs, we fall so in love with our solution that we forget about the cause. We forget about the want that started it. And the identification factor, the commonality that we have with our customer is the problem, right? We may solve the problem. We may offer solutions to the problem, but we've got to stay in love with the problem. And many times we, you know, we date the problem. That's who takes us to the dance. That's who gets us going. But we end up marrying our solution
yes.
and we become, you know,
oh,
yeah, very steeped.
So the problem is the bad girl, the solution's the good girl? Anyway.
Oh, man, we are in trouble now. There
all right, go. Let's back off
that's
that.
Kevin course. Taylor.
That's T with a T. awesome.
Hey, all right, go right into the show.
Do we want to jump right into the show?
Go right
so
into
as
it,
you
friend.
Guys know, the title today is, Are You Creating Customers or Fans? So we wanted to dive right in, and anybody just jump in. That's the question today. What are you creating? Are you creating customers and fan, and how is it relevant? And we got another question after that that I think we didn't tell Jay about, so it's going to be a surprise.
Ooh, okay, I'm going to stay there for the whole show.
So, I don't think there's food, though.
Yeah.
We got food
okay.
in the other room.
All right.
We got some snacks.
So
I got chicken.
So I think the first thing we need to answer with that is, what's the difference between a customer and a fan? I mean,
Kevin is very good at getting right to the point.
I mean, let's figure it out. What separates a customer from a fan of your business? I mean, when we think fans, I mean, with the current brouhaha with the NFL, it pops to mind. You get fans of the NFL. And as fans, some are customers and some aren't, but they're all fans. You could look at the same thing with NASCAR, with the NBA, with hockey, with you fill it in, but there's so many things that create these passionate fans. But what's the difference between someone who is a passionate fan and someone who buys your stuff?
And is there a difference? I mean, I think we can
huge.
All yeah, the big thing is yes, there is definitely a difference, and the impact you can make is way different from one from the other.
So let's start real simple with a positive, simple definition first. A customer might be compelled to buy. A customer might need a prescription filled, and they go to whoever's local, who's ever close or something. They need the prescription filled. They're a customer. Mm-hmm. A fan is somebody who proactively reaches out, who looks for the brand, looks at the brand. Today, one of the things we talk about, and for our millennial friends out there in TV land, are brand evangelists. You know, but we're using the word fan in this real broad way because it is about fan. And I like where Kevin started. When you think about a sports team fan, you think about a crazy, rabid, insane individual.
With a painted face.
With a painted face.
Or a painted belly.
Whose car has the flags, whose garage door has the banner, you know, everything like that, right?
The mug.
And they are advocating. They are sharing their loyalty. They're announcing, this is who I back.
I think I've seen flags and stuff around Jay.
And they say, bleed.
I think Jay is
I bleed
a fan
this color. Bleed
of a few teams.
Yes, yeah. Yes, absolutely.
I know
big,
you've got
big
a
fan.
Lot of passion.
Yeah,
around.
Crazy, crazy fan. But I'm also a fan of some brands outside of that. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And you know, it would be incomplete if we also didn't talk about the opposite of fan, because we're customers or we're fans, but 180 degrees opposite from a fan is what we call today a hater or a detractor.
Oh, yeah.
And the most popular review out there today, for example, is from a hater or a detractor, not from a loyal person. And there are some companies or places where we've all been, where we've said, Bobby, I will never do business with that company again, ever.
And you know what? Unfortunately, I have, and this makes me think about Amazon. So I go on Amazon, and when I go look for something to buy on Amazon, I immediately go to the negative reviews. That's what I want to look at first. Mm-hmm.
twofold. Usually, I want, if there's just a few, I want to make sure that that person's just a lunatic, and that's why they gave a really bad review. And the other is, I mean, everybody, if they like it, they're going to say they like it. If it's five stars, I don't really need to hear about it. I mean, I'll read them sometime, but it's kind of sad. But that's how we are. We pay attention to that squeaky wheel. We pay attention to the negative stuff, and it's sad. Yeah.
But an authentic negative review would be important to have. Thank goodness people post them.
Yes.
Right? I mean, if I have a product experience or user experience that truly is negative, and the product doesn't serve its purpose, or it's not advertised, I mean, it's not as advertised, mm-hmm. why not let other people know so they don't have that same experience?
And you know what's super powerful? If somebody does leave a negative review, if the business responds to that, to me, that is huge. Oh, we're so sorry. We want to take care of you. We want to help you. Man, that usually to me is a huge, wow, they care about what people are saying and thinking. Not many. I don't see much of that on Amazon, but when I do, I really pay attention to that. To that business.
I have something that's just, I can't believe I didn't even pay attention to this. I reached out to Cotopaxi through a forum. They reached out to people and they asked some questions. You have questions for Cotopaxi? And I asked a question, how did you build your community? I really want to read his response. Mm-hmm. So it's going to take a minute, but it could answer some things here. Basically, he said, thanks for the question, Ryan. The Cotopaxi community has honestly come together one person and decision at a time. When Davis started the company, he wanted to create a company that would inspire people, do good, and adventure on, and think what has made the company so successful is that they have not only tried to inspire this with their products, but have strived to make it a company goal as well. Each person that works within the company loves the outdoors and has the opportunity each week to get out into nature and explore or do some sort of service-oriented activity, with each employee striving to be more involved and get into the community and nature. More the motto to do good becomes a reality. I cannot read.
Doesn't help when you got to scroll the screen over two lines either.
I personally love working for the company. The fact that I can stand behind the product, the ideas that the company promotes, makes me happy and successful employees. Then when I interact with the customers, they can sense that.
So, you know, that makes me think. I am a card-carrying member of the REI Co-op, and when I walk into their store, right there inside the door are pictures of their employees. Not in the store, but pictures of the employees on top of a mountain, going down a river, you know, rafting in whitewater, whatever, doing what they love to do in the outdoors, and that shows me that store recognizes we are not about selling. We're about the experience of being outside. And I think to that store, they recognize we're a necessary roadblock between where you are and what you really want to be. And I think they've kept that in mind really well, especially the last few years. They've recognized that they are there to support people getting out to national parks, and they've supported that cause, a lot of other things. But they recognize people aren't coming here just to come here. They're coming here because we get them somewhere else, doing something else, mm-hmm. and experiencing. And I think, Jay, going back to what you said, what's the problem? The problem is I want to be out there doing something, and I don't have the right stuff. And they recognize, all right, let's get you the right stuff. And I think keeping that in mind creates fans of that store. I mean, you walk in there, and people who are members of that store are very proud to let you know it. You know, it is a fan situation.
So
you know,
REI as a brand has fans.
Yeah.
Rite Aid has customers. And so, Bobby, taking what Ryan and Kevin have said to start and kind of give an actionable item for our listener and for ourselves, mm-hmm. is, might we start that the most important fan in any brand is internal? is your employee.
Clients. Yeah, employees.
Because Ryan just read in terms of a response, right, to an email or, you know, messenger question. Tell me, you know, why. And here what Kevin's sharing is the most important fan experience, the most important fan of REI is employees. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah, Cotopaxi sends their employees out to the world and test their products out in their tent. You'll see pictures of them in their products. And I said, well, how did you build your community of fans? You know, and they're out there sharing their brand and doing it and being it. And I think REI.
I think it's about creating something that people want to be a part of.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what a fan is, somebody that wants to be a part of what you're creating.
And so you spend your time, your resources, your money, you share. You know, I got to pick a different company, CVS Pharmacy. We talk about Rite Aid. You don't see many people wearing a CVS Pharmacy shirt. You see people wearing REI gear all over, you know. So I ask you, Bobby, if your internal target market, if your employees, if your stakeholders, if your leadership are not fans of your brand, what chances do you have in converting your buyers to fans?
Very slim. Very slim.
Wouldn't you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
It starts internally.
Starts at home.
Yeah. Absolutely. And truthfully, it really needs to start with the owner, the founder of the company. They need to be a fan of what they're doing. It's so funny when in entrepreneur groups and we have these new folks that want to, you know, start a business and they come up to us and they talk about, oh, I need to make money. And it's just like, well, this sounds like a good money-making thing. What do you think of this? Well, you should probably think of, do you love it first? Do you want to do that because you love it? Because when it gets hard, are you going to quit because it's not making enough money? Or are you going to keep doing it because you love it? Because if you're not a fan, your employees aren't going to be a fan, and you're sure not going to have fans of what you're creating.
So, amen.
And, you know, it really does echo out. I've got another hobby that I'm thinking about dropping because I'm losing a passion for it. And I think if you look at that from a business perspective, and you can tell with what I'm doing with it, if you look at that from a business perspective, if as a business owner you're losing your passion for your business, if you're not a fan,
yeah,
seriously, no,
think
it's
of something else.
Going to show.
It does.
Everyone is going to know. Your employees, your customers, people who walk past your storefront are going to, it's going to radiate. It's going to come out in all kinds of little ways. You know, you think about it, even the storefront windows will be 4 months old.
Right.
You know, somebody's walking by. It
Absolutely.
Hasn't changed for four months.
Or
why
the
should
website
I care?
Hasn't changed for 4 years. Mm-hmm. Stagnant or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's no social media presence whatsoever. Yeah. They don't care about their company at
it's
all.
It's gone. It's done. Yeah.
So I think we can all attest that creating fans is a powerful way to move your business forward. Now, we want to ask the second question is, how does the Biz for Good connect with creating fans? How does that work? That's the question.
I'll step in on this one. I have a half-baked thought, and I'll try and get it to finish cooking while I'm talking.
Go, Kevin.
Most,
get your bake on.
Most businesses that create fans have a unifying thing. There's something to get behind that's not just, I buy stuff here. And again, I'll take it back to sports. You know, what is unifying? Okay, so here locally, we have the BYU-Utah rivalry. And it is hard to not come down on one side of that fence. I mean, fence sitters in this state are very few. Most of them went
unless
to Utah State.
Unless you went to Utah State like me, and then I call it Switzerland.
Yeah. And, you know, Utah State's got a special spot in this where you say, what, there was a big game this weekend?
Yeah, nobody cares.
But you look at it, and it is polarizing, and you really identify with whichever side of that fence you are a fan. And I think as a business, you have to be able to create something similar. What is it that is polarizing in a good way?
You need to stand for something, don't you? To have fans, you need to stand for something, like Cotopaxi, like all those others we just talked about.
So a funny thing, I love Utah State. Okay, I don't want to diss it in any way. My grandfather taught there. My family has a history there. It's a great school. But when you look at the passion displayed for Utah State compared to those other two schools,
is a little less.
It's a little less because there's not a unifying, polarizing opposition. And I don't know that all fandom has to be in opposition, but Switzerland just doesn't have the big fans. and whereas, you know, you love or hate the others. And mm-hmm. when it's Utah State, it's like, all right, you know, it'll be fun. You know, it's cool. So how do we apply that to a business? I mean, what do we create that's
create
good?
Create strong fans.
How do we create a good, polarizing, magnetic, I love that term, magnetic for business, something that brings people in more than, here's my $5, let me walk out with what you're selling. Which I think as we look at the drugstores, I mean, honestly, why should I care? They're all going to sell me the same thing. You know, the prescriptions are all going to be the same price. As I walk through the store, it's all going to be overpriced, but highly convenient. And what's the difference? You know, here's my $5. Let me walk out with it.
I love Walgreens.
Well, thank you for that plug.
Are you a fan?
Go Aggies.
Are you a screaming fan?
Of Walgreens? Only because of Good to Great, I think. After reading Good to Great and connecting with, you know, the whole
Jim Collins story there.
The whole mantra of how Walgreens turned itself into what it is now and tearing all the Walgreens down and putting them all on the corners. It's got a story.
Yeah.
It's magnetizing.
It is.
Okay, so that illustrates or underscores Kevin's point.
Yep.
It pulled you into it, and you became a fan because it has a story.
Yeah.
It has a message. It stands for something. Yep. It went through something. You identify with it.
Absolutely.
So you're a fan.
Yep.
And it's that's the whole point, right?
Yeah, it's right on the money, and something mm-hmm. as mundane as a drugstore.
Mm-hmm. So let's pull another one out.
Is cool.
Let's pull out the well, arguably one of the great hated companies of America, Walmart. Okay, yes, now it's very popular to hate on Walmart.
Yeah.
But when you look at where they started, people loved Walmart. They had
fans.
Amazing fans.
Back in mm-hmm. the 90s, early 90s.
Because they brought big city prices to small towns.
I remember when we got our Walmart in Gatesville, Texas.
You,
population 6,000.
You arrived that day.
We were like, we have a Walmart now.
Yeah.
And we're like a real city now.
See, and they created an amazing fan base with what they did. I think they've lost a lot of that recently. I think it has now just become...
They've lost a lot.
It's the commodity store. I need this. I need it cheap. I'm going to go to Walmart. But when they were starting their major growth, it was based on fans. It was mm-hmm. getting those mm-hmm. small towns yeah. and creating people who loved the fact that there is a real department store.
Yep.
In my little town of 5,000-6,000, we have a big store.
Where I can get anything.
I can get anything. And mm-hmm. this is amazing. I love this place. I'm going to scream from the rooftops that I am going to Walmart.
your story, Kevin.
Well, the Walmarts, because most of it was in the South.
Right.
Yeah.
But your story illustrates you can lose fans.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting thing.
Yes.
Once we earn the fans, how do we keep them? So I could be a fan of Walmart today in terms of pricing. If we were looking at their pricing structure and considering that perhaps they're cheaper than other places, and I'm a fan of price in a particular commodity. Mm-hmm. But what about in terms of customer service? Do you think Walmart has any fans and in terms of their customer service? Getting an employee to help pick something out, find something?
No, not so much.
Only the antisocial.
Not so much. Nordstrom's, on the other hand, yes, but not Walmart.
Yeah.
And so even Walmart now is closing its checkout lanes and hurting everybody into self-check. Really? And even here locally, the self-check aren't taking cash anymore. So if you're not paying with a credit or a debit card, I mean, so they're even making you check your item, you know, pay in a way that they don't have to count your change or something like that. And I think it's even creating, you know, more that comes to a point, well, you know what, the price isn't worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, guys, today's show is short and sweet and powerful and impactful and connected. We wanted to just hit it today, EFL 360. I think we connected with the fact that if you want to make an impact, do what it takes to create fans, not customers. Any last words on that, guys?
Last word, why that's so valuable is because then your fans do your marketing. Through the endorsements, through the reviews, through the sales.
Ooh,
that's that's the key. By creating fans, you expand your marketing department or team.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that is huge.
Love your fans. Be loyal. Reward them. Acknowledge them. Treat them well. Treat
and
your customers well.
They will grow your company for you.
So if it's not your product or your service, at least make your experience fan worthy.
Absolutely. Kevin. Mm-hmm.
I got nothing to add to that. That's phenomenal.
That was a drop the
mic. Yeah, I'm not even going to try. That people this say brilliance all the time, brought to you by Jay.
People tell you all the time, marketing, how do I do marketing? Create something that people could love, and it will market itself.
It's powerful. And love on them.
Love your fans. Love them.
Treat them with respect.
Listen to them.
You know when you're not treated. I'm the most loving person, and I don't hold a grudge on anybody. But boy, I'll hold a grudge on a company. When a company shows me they don't respect me, I'm done.
Me too.
I'm done. I won't use that product again, and I'll remember it forever.
I brought a list of names.
Yeah, I don't think that way. But when it comes to a business, hey, if you haven't done what it takes to create, I mean, how do you treat your employees if they treat me like that? It can't be. I don't want to do business with that. Guys, thank you for coming on the show. Once again, powerful, powerful. We'll see you here later at EFL 360 Weekly.
And you can go to facebook.com/EFL360 and you can watch all of the inspirational stuff that goes on.
Yes, anybody from anywhere in the world can watch EFL 360's weeklies because they're videoed live.
And today we have Marketing is Not a Department and 26 actionable items to connect with your market.
Ooh, 26.
And they're giving out 100 grand, I hear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody's getting 100 grand.
It's a car.
Oh,
no.
Car?
Yeah.
No, he's got the big stack of 100 grands right there.
We're giving away 100 grand today.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
So, folks, you are missing out. You are missing out if you don't come today and get your 100 grand. So,
too bad most people won't hear this till it's done.
Darn it. But we got video that's got sound now.
All right.
Okay, folks.
Everybody, hashtag
Be good, do good.
Hashtag
Be good, do good.
Hashtag
Be good, do good.
That's a wrap.
Thank you for listening to the Biz for Good show series with Bobby Glenn James and Ryan Pilkington. We want to thank our guests and all our fans of the show. Again, you can find us online at bizforgoodshow.com and on all our social platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. Have a great day, and remember, be good, do good.